Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
What is really awkward is if you're at the dentist. And the dentist starts talking.
Oh, because you're like, ah.
Yeah. And the dentist wants to talk sports. Or the dentist wants to talk about whatever. And you're like,
what? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
And you're like, yeah. It's very awkward.
That's hysterical.
And I just could never answer.
That's hysterical.
So it was like a monologue.
That isn't that the Ricky Gervais movie where he's like a dentist? And he, like, is a really grumpy dentist, and he, like, people try to talk to him, and he just shoves something in their mouth.
Well, what a day.
Yeah, well.
Is there any more stupid form of precipitation than hail?
No way. I suppose that is the stupidest.
So hang here.
Yeah.
We're friends. Well, associates.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Oh, be delightful. Start without me.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, 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 Mr. David, the Stanley Cup Final's over, and I'm sure you are chagrined.
Good morning, Mully. Yeah, happy Wednesday. That was inevitable. The Florida Panthers. Congratulations to the Florida Panthers. Clearly the best team in the NHL, dominant performance in the Stanley Cup Final, and as unbeatable as they are, unlikable. Just saying.
Well, we were kind of talking about it with Dustino this morning. It did. They trailed by 2 goals in the first period of every game. Now, it's extraordinary that twice Edmonton came back and won in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they did in this series. I mean, that was another.
It was like they were playing with an extra guy in the ice.
You can't. If you
defensively, just, in every way, they shut down McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yes.
Offensively, it was like they were constantly on the power play.
Always.
They knew exactly where they wanted to go with the puck and who to get it. Sam Bennett was unconscious. Marchand, give him credit. 6 goals in the series.
Yeah.
They just had wave after wave after wave of consistency. And they were relentless, and they are champions. And they think that, you know, they did something that only 3 other teams have done in the modern era. And I think going back-to-back is a testament to their coaching, their front office, and everything. South Florida, who knew that there would be a hockey dynasty growing there?
Well, it is a hockey dynasty. And mercifully, Sam Bennett won the Conn Smythe, so it wasn't the indignity of Marshawn, but there you go. Look, you know, in sports, generally speaking, doesn't matter what the sport is, you can't keep spotting the lead. You can't, you know, when two teams are that good and you're playing for a championship, you can't fall behind in every bloody game.
And that's what they were doing. And the Oilers never were in control. Never felt like they were in command. They had any time to relax. And Connor McDavid, two straight years now, the best player in the sport, ends up without a champion.
Yeah.
Without a championship. And so that's you wonder what comes next for the Edmonton Oilers. You wonder what they do with the roster in terms of to get over the hump, because you have the greatest player in hockey. And you don't want to squander these opportunities. Every year feels like a loss one if you don't win at all.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, it's got to be, how long is it, 33 years since a Canadian team won the Cup? I mean, that's a long period of time.
It is a long period of time.
It's a lifetime for some people.
It is. And to think that some of the teams up there have been very good in that period of time. The Maple Leafs. I think the Canadians haven't had great teams in that stretch, but certainly the Oilers with McDavid. The Canucks had a run for a while, but none of them have been able to win at all. So that's a long drought, and now they begin the process of not starting over, but trying to get back into contention and do the things with their salary cap. And the offseason has begun, and in Chicago. You know, you're the Hawks and you're looking, it seems like a very long time ago that you were even in that conversation, and it was a very long time ago.
And we have some Hawks news. Is it news? Well, we have some Hawks
thoughts. Yeah, I think
thoughts.
It is. Yeah,
we'll get into that in the pick six. Stay tuned for that.
Frank Saravalli, just to tease it, Frank Saravalli, the CHSN Blackhawk insider, reported that they're open for business with a third overall pick.
There you go.
A lot of implications and possibilities there, but Frank's pretty plugged in, and he does a daily face-off, and he came forward yesterday because he's been talking to some people, and they're looking for some veteran talent.
That's it's really interesting, and we'll get into that, and not only kind of what it means, but what it means moving forward, right? I mean, that is a little bit of a shift. From constantly being
Of make things interesting at the draft and put a little spice into the offseason before free agency arrives. You can't just always hope for free agency to solve all your problems. So I think Kyle Davidson will be aggressive, but that was on the television last night. Thank goodness for the Cubs. I turned on the PCA movie and that cheered me up.
Yeah, the Cubs, the offense back. I mean, not overwhelming and not like the Cardinals overwhelming, but they did a really good job. They came back and won that game 5-3 over the Brewers. They are now 17 games over 500, and they are, what is it, six now? 6.5 ahead of Milwaukee. That's pretty impressive stuff.
That was a night. It was a happening. Yeah. That was Pete Crow Armstrong at his best in the field at the plate. And Pat Hughes, I think, summed it up perfectly when he talked about what's going on at Wrigley Field with Pete Crow Armstrong.
It's like we're watching a movie starring Pete Crow Armstrong in this eighth inning.
Four stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thumbs up.
He's special.
Rave reviews. Guy. He is something else. Mm. And he is... He's got the flair. He 452 feet. He got it all. And that was the furthest he's ever hit a ball, the fastest he's ever hit a ball, and it was just really the defining home run of the season.
It was a huge home run of in terms of what it meant in the game. But it was also just kind of a continuation of one of the, and I don't want to call it a magical season. It's just a season of excellence.
It's a magical start.
But I'm just saying, he's so bloody good. He can hurt you and harm you in so many different ways. That is a five-tool player.
Craig Counsell is not prone to exaggerate.
Right.
And when he talked about he's never seen a center fielder play at this high of a level. You consider what he's watched and all the baseball he's experienced. And that's quite a compliment. And you understand what he's saying, because the catch
was every
bit as good as the homer.
It's unbelievable. He can damage you in many ways.
Yeah.
We're seeing a center fielder that's playing at as high a level as I've seen a center fielder play. Now we're 70 games in or whatever, but the how he's playing it, you know, it's as good as I've seen. I think all the pitchers that have been around for a while, like Caleb Theobar would and he's had some pretty good center fielders behind him as well. Would tell you that it's the kind of, like I said, the left center gap and the right center gap going back, it's just been really impressive.
It's a lot of baseball.
Well,
he's talking about
there's a lot of excellent players you're talking about too.
And Pete Crow Armstrong, I don't think anybody thought he would be this good this soon. Maybe eventually.
Didn't Dustin?
Dustin, maybe. No, but I think even Dustin was like, by 2027 or 2028.
Yeah, I was just answering a question. Listen, I'm going to kind of pull a little bit of a Jed here, right? Like, I'm not going to act like, oh, wow, I predicted that he would be the, you know, leading outfield vote getter in 2025 at the, you know, ahead of the All-Star game, anything like that. Caleb Williams was not even in the equation when we did
this.
You're
right. Yeah.
So just to be fair, I mean, you know, listen, I thought he's a guy. Part of it was, though, he's a guy that I felt fans could really get behind. You've mentioned, like, the Javi Baez effect. He, PCA, I think, like Baez, thrives off of that energy at Wrigley.
This does feel like the first time since Javi Baez made a run at the MVP. He was the runner-up, I believe, in 2019 or 2017.
So. Yeah.
You have to look that up. But that stretch of time was when Javi Baez was at his best and as exciting of a player as it was in baseball. And Pete Crow Armstrong is that kind of guy.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, as you say, the catch was as important as the home run. And I don't know if we were really going to measure them, which is the most important, but the idea that the center fielder, the guy that covers all that distance, that makes those plays, you know, I mean, he's such a great defensive player. His speed changes his ability on the field. And then you add in the fact that he can also, he's got power. Where did that come from? Who saw that power coming? I think we've seen hints of it, but as consistently as he's been as a home run hitter is probably the headline of the, I think we knew he'd
where
be a
he's
great
finding that power
player.
Source, how he's able to,
yes,
for a little guy, hit the ball that far,
holy
that
cow,
consistently out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
And it was 2018. Javi Baez was the NL runner-up for the MVP voting to Christian Yelich. And I think that was when he was just capturing the imagination, doing something on a nightly basis that made you say, wow. And here we are again. That's what this PCA stretch reminds you of. And when you look at, you're right, throughout baseball, the All-Star voting, Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, Freddie Freeman. Those are the only three guys who've gotten more All-Star votes than Pete Crow Armstrong? You have to be as surprised a little bit as you are impressed.
It's
for him.
It's June 18th.
June 18th.
And he's got 19 homers.
Yep. Wow. He's on a 40-40 pace.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a guy who's doing special things. And in the field, there's nothing he can't get to. It's like that catch. Where did he come from? Oh, my gosh. His burst of speed, the quickness, it's just fun. He's enjoying things.
They're 3-1 against the Brewers so far, and you love that because of the fact that that was the division winner a year ago, and they were what? They were 5-3.
Well, they're the class of the division lately.
Yes.
You know they are, and Craig Counsell even alluded to that. He's like, they're the team over the last 5-6 years has been the top of the division.
Right.
He remembers it because he was there.
He was there. They were 5-8 against the Brewers last year. Right. So again, you're right there, but that's a big deal. Right, and that's what you know. We talked about going into this series with the day off. I think on Monday we talked about it. Like they needed that day off. You know, and the other thing is, and I'm going to give a tip of the cap to the skipper again. Like giving Kyle Tucker almost a full day off on Father's Day, ended up paying off.
So they had Monday off.
So they had a day game, right? They had three hits, right? Yeah. So the day game on Sunday, he gets basically the whole day off. Mm-hmm. Then they're off early. They're off in the evening Sunday. They're off all day Monday. They play a day game on Tuesday.
It's a night game.
So he got, and then he comes out and has three hits.
Rest and recovery.
And it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it was, again, Craig Counsell spot on. He gets the credit and he gets the heat. I'm guessing it's probably an organizational thing, too. I'm sure he's not the only one involved in that conversation, but just good for the Cubs, and then good for, obviously, Kyle Tucker for paying off, you know, by getting the little bit of time off.
Craig Counsell does deserve some credit here.
Oh,
because of the way he's handled
at least some
a lot of the things, including the rest for Kyle Tucker and the starters and the way he's managed the bullpen. Zach had a really good interview with Colin Ray before the game, and in that pregame interview, Colin Ray told Zach he complimented Counsell for the way he's handled the bullpen and how he just has this sort of innate sense of when to replace a starter, when to bring in the right guy. And throughout his career, that's been the thing that has maybe defined him most. I mean, he's been a good manager of bullpens.
Well, I mean, this season, no one's complaining about much.
No,
this season,
not yet.
You're seeing, well, I'm just saying,
you're right.
You're seeing excellence. And you know, even some of our weak criticism, like, they're not scoring enough runs. You know, you can't not hit with runners in scoring position. It's crazy. And it is crazy, some of the statistical anomalies that they have overcome. But I got to tell you, that was a really good performance last night, and you round up the usual suspects. You know exactly who's doing the damage. You know, PCA all over the field. Saya had a
big home run.
He's done great.
You don't want to overlook that. And didn't Palencia hit over 100 again? Oh my gosh!
Sure did.
Yeah. That guy. So and Matt Shaw made a really nice catch on a foul ball that he had to dive for. His defense has been outstanding, and he had a double.
Well, and he was in a slump. He was definitely in a slump, but he was the one that finally got them on the board. Mm-hmm. Right? They put up two, and then in the bottom of the second, he cut. You know, he helped them cut into that lead. That was big. And then he had the great defensive play in the fourth. His defense has been great, and you know, his hitting. I think he's like 3 for 30 maybe or something right now. Not great, but in that moment, huge, right?
You know, Ben Brown, for all the criticism he's received, pitched a good game. I don't think he had his greatest stuff, but he went 5 innings. He was really good, and he didn't get an opener.
He got out of the first.
He got out,
he got
the
out
first.
Of first, and then he ran into trouble.
He ran into trouble in the second.
But I'll say, all right, does that make any sense now?
If you had an opener,
just take it. You know,
it still would have been
your
bad.
Your fifth starter is going to be shaky here and there. Just take it.
You know, that's it. You know, he's a tall drink of water, and he's up there, and you know.
And the Cubs' relative struggles offensively in the last 10 home games that we were talking about, 2.9 runs per game in the previous 10 games. You look at that, and you're concerned. Then you realize that's baseball.
Yes.
Because you look around the league and you see, for instance, the Yankees haven't scored in 29 innings.
Yeah,
they have been shut out for 29 straight innings.
Right.
They have 5 runs in their last 6 games. Imagine how we have reacted to the Cubs' relative slump over the 10 games. How loud it is in New York with Aaron Judge and company not scoring a run the last 29 innings. So baseball can be a very funny game. And the Cubs, this is fun to see them do this. And, man, PCA is exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Record this season in games where you're hitless with runners in scoring position. This is from Christopher Compka, the statistician, amazing.
Guru.
Yes, no doubt about it. The Cubs are now 5-4 in such games on the year, so that's a 556 percentage, winning percentage. The rest of MLB, 77-366. That is a 0.174 winning percentage. How could they be winning How could they play nine games like that? But how could they be winning that? And two of them obviously came in the four game series against the Pirates, which is why he's updating.
That's why Jed Hoyer's smiling. That's why he's right. doing all the interviews and sounding like he is as happy as you could be for a guy in a contract year. Maybe that's why he's smiling all the time.
Incredible.
Cubs are in a good stretch right now. Definitely.
That is an unbelievable. I mean, he has great statistics, but that one, you know, it just stops you. Like, what? Like, how do they defy
Chris Kamka? Sultan of stat.
He's the best.
He is. So the White Sox did not have such a good night. Both teams are in town. One team showed up last night.
You know, here's the thing. The White Sox were so bad that Shane Smith just lost his chance at an all-star appearance. What do you think?
You think that was the takeaway?
Well, I mean, he got rocked. It was really rough.
Cardinals were happy to be in Chicago.
Oh, boy.
Happy to see Sox pitching.
The Cardinals had lost 7 of 8.
Yeah, that's why they arrived with smiles on their faces.
Oh, my God.
PCA was happy? You should have seen Wilson Contreras.
Holy cow. And again, you know, Shane Smith was vying to be the first pitcher, White Sox pitcher, to be a rookie All-Star. There was just a lot of people thinking that he had a good shot at that because he's been so consistently excellent. But woo, that ended.
Yeah, they had a strange lineup going into the game. You didn't know what
the Benintendi was out.
He was hurt. Maybe he was hurt, or maybe it's because Libertor was on the mound, a tough lefty. Yeah. But
he hasn't hit a homer since I think it's May 28th.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's no good.
It's been a while, and the Sox were offensively challenged, and you expected your hope that Shane Smith would maybe overcome that, but it's a difficult thing to ask because he allows 6 runs, 5 earned, and 4 1/3 innings.
Yeah.
So tonight, Sonny Gray and Sean Burke back at it at Wright Field. The big matchup, though, will be at Wrigley Field, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Jameson Taillon and Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see Mizorowski.
He's their version of Cade Horton.
Yes, but he's also
young phenom.
As you know, it's sometimes when you don't know a guy or have a scouting report on a guy, it's hard for a team to dominate an unknown. So that's another thing to keep an eye on.
Ian Happ talked about that with the midday show yesterday, how he was getting ready to go do some homework on the first two guys, because last night's starter was from Hebron, Indiana.
Oh.
Chad Patrick. You know he's right. You know where Hebron is, right? No? It's right around Coutts and Crown Point, and it's Valparaiso. It's a very small town. It's a very good story, his emergence. But
I've heard of the basketball team.
That's the other one.
Is he part of the region then, David? Is that part
kind
of the region?
Quasi-region. Yeah, okay. Kind of right on the tip, right on the edge. You're thinking of the Hebron, Illinois.
Oh.
Which is a different story altogether. Okay. Yeah. This is Hebron, Indiana, small town, very small town on the way to North Judson from Chicago. You have to go through Hebron. I know that you've never made that trip, but
no, it's not that I've never made the trip. It's I've never been pulled over by the Hebron police, so I don't know that I've made that trip. I've gone through Indiana quite a bit.
I've never been pulled over by the Hebron police either.
Oh, I thought for sure you had a story.
I do have a story, but I don't think that...
Because you brought up John Q. Law.
How did I do that?
By saying that you knew this tiny little town.
Well, everybody knows a tiny little town if you're from Indiana.
Okay.
Right?
I thought you were trying to tell us something.
No, it's a fine place to go through. But I think that was the connection. Last night was another young pitcher. The Brewers have some young pitchers that this is the season to find out what you've got. And Jacob Mizorowski tonight, you wonder the Cubs how they're going to do against 6'7", 200 pounds, I think. He's kind of a tall drink of water.
And he throws the ball pretty fast.
He throws the ball very fast.
Yeah.
Topped 100 how many times in his first start? He's the reason that Aaron Civale is in a White Sox uniform, essentially.
Yeah, he's the reason Aaron Civale is probably going to be traded from the White Sox, coincidentally.
Yeah.
They're going to trade him, right? They're going to try to...
Well, if he's good enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're going to try to get him built up a little bit, and then they're going to try to move him on.
Flip him for a prospect.
What'd you think?
No doubt about it. There's no reason to keep him. He's got an expiring contract.
Exactly.
And the games that you win the rest of the season are irrelevant compared to what you could get for him.
You could get a better prospect for him than you ever would for Andrew Vaughn. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if a veteran starting pitcher on the market at the trade deadline will fetch you more than a disappointing former first-round draft pick.
I agree.
Yeah. So that was a smart move by Chris Getz.
It looks like a smart move. Again, if they can get something for him, it'd be great. Plus, they also, you know, it was interesting in the pregame to hear Will Venable talk about the issue that we talked about yesterday, how they have so many young pitchers and they've got to be aware of controlling their innings. And, you know, it's kind of the same problem you had with Garrett Crochet a year ago. I mean, obviously not the same kind of talent, but young guys that mean something to you and that you've gotten something out of and you got to be careful with.
You do have to be careful with them. This is what's going on throughout baseball, though. I think that we have a conversation about Cade Horton, and you have a conversation about, you know, Jacob Mizorowski, and the White Sox have their own concerns about innings limits and ceilings and all of those things. It's just happening with every staff because you're not getting guys who go 200 innings anymore. 150 is a lot. And so you wonder, philosophically, how they're going to approach when you have a pitching prospect. Do you immediately think, how am I going to ration his appearances and innings? I think that's where you start because you don't want you figure you have so many pitches and so many, it's almost a finite number. So you're going to start to, you know, like with Cade Horton, how are they going to use him moving forward? He starts on Thursday, starts tomorrow, and then how many more starts does he have? Because every time you do, you get closer to his career high in innings pitched.
Right. And you want to build on that. It's not, that's, you know, that's far from the jumping off point, but how far do you want to build on it? That's the question. You know, are you hoping to get 100 innings?
Crochet's an interesting model, though, because you looked at last year. We had the same conversation about him.
Yeah.
And then look what he accomplished, and it was turned out to be a moot point. Mm-hmm. And concerns that were maybe overly cautious, but not everybody's Garrett Crochet either.
Got a hell of a trade for him. I mean, it looks better all the time. So
handled him well.
Yeah.
Dealt with that situation in a way that was rewarding. So,
but speaking of rewarding, you probably could have paid him and kept him, but, you know, they moved on. So there you go. They're not rewarding anyone. All right. We've got a ton to get to in the pick six. We'll pick apart all the stories of the day. We'll get into it. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Can you please put a word or a phrase on PCA's performance last night versus the Brewers?
I would just say excellent. He was excellent, and that's excellence. To have somebody that can, you know, have that complete a game, that can harm a team offensively and harm them defensively, and I don't mean that, I don't say it lightly. I think he was just, it was just a game, an excellent performance.
Worldly, not only, and I thought this was a tip of the cap to the TV broadcast. I listened to the entire Cubs game on the radio on the way home, got home as the eighth inning began, moved over to TV, and maybe we can visit it later, but Boog and they were talking about the fact that PCA not only is potentially the best player on the Cubs, but the way he's performing at this age in the field and at the plate could be one of the best in all of the majors. All of it. David, you pointed out this morning, we were having this conversation talking about the All-Star voting. PCA is not only is he the leading vote getter in the outfield, he's fourth overall with some really unbelievable names in front of
him. The biggest names,
right?
In the game.
The names, the guys that are on video game covers, the guys that are doing all the commercials, all the promotion. He sits fourth right now. And it's not just Cub fans stuffing the ballot. Like, he deserves it.
It was PC awesome. And it was one of those games that you will remember. And when he hits a 452-foot home run that bounces off the scoreboard, that's amazing. It was the farthest ball he's ever hit. It was the hardest ball he's ever hit. And then you look, thank you, Cubs.com, for putting all of this into context. He also entered Tuesday leading all defensive players in Major League Baseball in fielding run value. These are the metrics that you appreciate when you have a player as special as Pete Crow Armstrong. Oh, by the way, also leads Major League in base running runs above average at 4.8. The only other player in the National League who has a WAR as high as PCA's, 3.9, Shohei Ohtani. He's pretty good. This is rare what we are watching. He's having a season for the ages. He's 23 years old. Goodness sakes, the entire future looks so bright for Pete Crow Armstrong, and the Cubs are benefiting from it. It's almost like, oh, by the way, yeah, Seiya Suzuki hit a big home run last night. Oh, by the way, yeah, it was a really good performance by Daniel Palencia. Oh, by the way, it's Pete Crow Armstrong and company. Who's this Kyle Tucker guy, the $500 million man? If that's what he's worth, what's PCA worth? Goodness sakes. It's fun.
That's a good question.
That is a good question. What do you expect to see from the Brewers rookie, Jacob Mizorowski, tonight? Will Jameson Taillon pitch a better game? Does his presence mean more to Sox fans because it landed them Aaron Civale? If the Sox are interested in trading Civale, should the Cubs be interested?
I'll start there. No. They can do better. They need to do better, and they should do better. I have trust in Jed Hoyer that his aspirations are bigger and better than a journeyman fifth starter. But I hope that Chris Getz can flip Civale. Jacob Mizorowski is going to be pretty nasty tonight, I think. He's going to probably have a couple innings that he gets off. If he can manage those emotions, he is a rookie. He is making a big start at Wrigley Field. That can't be lost on the young man. I would imagine he's going to have some of those, some of that anxiety and some of those moments that are shaky. At least you hope so. If he can settle into a rhythm, he could be hard to hit. Jameson Taillon could also be hard to hit because he's in a groove. This is going to be a fun matchup. Experience versus youth, before and after, these kinds of things, because Jacob Mizorowski is a prospect that Jameson Taillon can relate to, much the way he could relate to Paul Skeens. He was that guy at one time. So maybe it'll take the Cubs a little bit a while to adjust. It could be a pitcher's duel. Maybe the wind will be blowing in tonight. You never know at Wrigley Field, but it's going to be a fun matchup.
6'7", 197 pounds, right? So this guy needs to have a couple of sandwiches or maybe a steak while in town, or maybe some cheese curds.
NBA draft is next week, Dustin.
And he gets back up to Milwaukee. Wow. I mean, this guy needs a sandwich if I've ever seen. This guy's got four pitches, and all four of them average over 90 miles an hour. Now, he struck out five, and he walked four, and I think that's the key. Cubs approach, you know, the Cubs haven't seen this guy. He's only making his second MLB, you know, start, so he's going to be jacked up. But that could also work in the Cubs' favor if they will be patient. So I'm hoping that Cubs can work some walks and then catch up to a fastball. But I expect Jameson Taillon to be very good again. I think he'll meet the moment. He's starting to remind me of Kyle Hendricks. You know, just a cool confidence. And again, Kyle just got the job done. Never was it like, oh, wow, did you see Kyle Hendricks last night? And it's never, unfortunately for me, the oh, wow with Jameson Taillon is, oh, wow, he just gave up another solo home run, right? So we're hoping Jameson will limit the solo home runs and match this guy. But this is really exciting. I'm hoping Mother Nature doesn't throw a wrench into this thing,
because
supposed to be a kind of a drippy, wet day around here.
He just jinxed it.
No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just hoping.
I think you're spot on about Jameson Taillon. I think we know exactly what you're going to get from him, and it's going to be a winning performance. I think he's going to give you a quality start, even if you don't like the quality start. But that's what he does every time he gets the ball. I think the problem is with Mizorowski. I have no idea what to expect. You have no idea what this guy... It's going to be fun to see like a young guy that can throw 100 miles an hour. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means he's going to dominate and he's going to get a lot of strikeouts, or he's going to be out of the zone and he's going to give up a lot of walks. So it's kind of... It's interesting just because it's a young player that you don't know a lot about. So it'll be fun to see him. I think, though, that he could manage to lose this game. And as far as him being the guy that brought Savale to the White Sox, why wouldn't the Cubs want that guy? He's not there. That's not the big piece they're going to get. But if you're looking to burn some innings and get someone for a minor piece.
They got enough guys like that.
Maybe. I don't think they do. I think they need him, and he knows the division.
Speaking of Taillon, he was on, as we said, inside the clubhouse on Saturday. And did you know that Bruce, we'll talk to Bruce Levine at 7:25, threw us under the bus.
Oh.
Me specifically, but the show in general, in telling Jameson Taillon that we were complaining about his home run balls that he would give up.
Oh, we said they're solo homers, and that's great, but we told them to knock it off.
Sorry, Molly. Was it seven in 140-some pitches?
180 pitches.
180 pitches.
Yeah.
Okay. I
know.
Come on.
Bruce told them that. Told on us.
That's okay.
Not exactly the time to tell on us, but okay.
Right in front of me. Bruce, I'm right here.
But what was his reaction?
But no one wants that.
He handled it pretty well, like a pro. He was very professional.
Did he say anything about the T-shirts?
No.
Wonder if those actually ever were created.
As a leader, I think you shy away from those questions.
That is the voice of Jed Hoyer. He was on the station yesterday. We'll probably hear more from Jed this morning. He was with the Spiegel and Holmes show, our afternoon duo. In The Athletic, former GM Jim Bowden proposed this Cubs trade for the Marlins ace, Sandy Alcantara. Cade Horton, Owen Casey, Kevin Alcantara, Ronnie Cruz, your reaction?
It's a lot. I mean, that seems like... That seems like it might be a little bit too much. I suppose a couple of those players, I think the Cade Horton thing stops you a little bit. I just don't know. I'm sorry. I get it. You know, he's just not having that kind of year. No, I think that's too much. I think it's too much. That was my reaction to it at the time. It was like, wow. Like, are you sure they got enough, or what else can you do here? That seems like a little more than you want to give up for them.
No shot. No way. No how. You know, you were hearing about the Knicks were calling around and trying to get permission to talk to head coaches, and basically they got like an emphatic something, or basically got like a dial tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if team presidents and general managers like pick up the phone immediately, or if there's texting. Like, if that was a proposed like icebreaker text, I either would have responded in text, no shot, or lose my number, because that's just no.
Yeah, it was a very big surprise to see somebody as respected as Jim Bowden throw out that possibility, because this read like one of those NBA trades where you overpay for somebody like Desmond Bane and you give up 4 first-round draft picks and 2 players. What is he talking about? Cade Horton and Owen Casey and Kevin Alcantara? You're talking about trading for a guy who's not even having that good of a season in Sandy Alcantara. Now, he could change things around, but you're not going to give up 4 prospects, including 3 of your top guys and 1 of the guys contributing to your major league team. You're talking about Sandy Alcantara, not Sandy Koufax. No, no, no.
I mean, that's going to be a White Sox question you have to ask Will Venable.
That was AJ from yesterday with you guys. What's your take on Andrew Benintendi being a scratch from the game last night against the Cardinals? He hasn't homered since May the 28th. What did you make of the Sox performance last night, and what did you make of Shane Smith?
Not much from Shane Smith. He had one of those nights. It made me feel like the All-Star talk was a little premature. He's solid. He's a guy in your rotation, but boy, last night was a rough one. You look at Benintendi being a scratch. Maybe he's got an injury. Maybe they wanted to spare him from a left-hander. He has been in a power drought lately. I don't know if it's related to some sort of health concern, but they need his bat in the lineup because they don't have many major league bats in that lineup. You got a lot of guys learning at the major league level how to be professional hitters, and the lineup reflects that. So that was not a very good performance. That's not the way you open up a series against the Cardinals. And that's not really much fun to watch. So tonight you have Sonny Gray and Sean Burke. Let's hope that Sean Burke is better than Shane Smith was.
Thanks, Sox. I mean, you know, this is a game that really is hard for me to pick a team to cheer from my fan perspective, right? 2 teams that growing up I did not care for at all. I mean, Shane Smith, maybe the talk of him being an all-star got to him, but this was really his first real clunker, right? You know, the 3 walks kind of bothers you, but he doesn't allow home runs really. So Benintendi, it's got to be an injury, right? That would be the only they just had a day off. Why else would you not put him out there? Because if he actually showed a little bit of pop, maybe he's a guy, I don't know,
no
his contract
way.
Is... Oh, no, that contract. Yeah, the contract, I don't think you can move him.
Can't trade him. I think he's been playing poorly. You know, I hope he's not hurt, but at the same time, I think he's just been pretty bad, so it doesn't shock me that they gave him a day off. He probably needed a day off in terms of Benintendi. Listen... This was by far the worst game that Shane Smith has pitched. He was terrible. He was just bad, and you were expecting him to kind of be able to repeat what he had been doing, and unfortunately he couldn't. And I think it does sort of end any All-Star talk. I just don't think that that's going to happen now. But then, you know, you get an All-Star, so who is it? It's, you know, who should be? Maybe Tauchman. And it's ridiculous because he wouldn't be an All-Star if he was on the Cubs, but he's an All-Star for the White Sox, that's for sure. I look at this, and I just got to tell you, I think that Benintendi has been pretty awful of late, and maybe they just gave him a day off. That was a pretty good pitcher on the bump, and they weren't going to be able to do much. The guy hadn't pitched well in his last three games. He looked pretty good last night.
If you have one question about this Hawks season...
That is the voice of Frank Ciravelli, and he is the reason for this question that we're about to ask you. What do you make of the Blackhawks reportedly by Frank willing to trade the number 3 overall pick in the draft and will be open to a deal over the next 9 days? Do the Blackhawks need to make a deal because they already have so many young players and don't want to wait for another year or two for them to arrive? The Blackhawks have a lot of cap space, but they might be a little bit reluctant to spend it if they're not on the playoff track. Is this a way to get older without spending?
I guess that's the answer. I guess it's a way to get older and a way to get, you know, if you can get a good young player who you can grow with and has more age on him, that might help as much as a younger player just because they have so many of them. But it worries me, frankly. I don't know that that's the smartest way to go about it. And you know, really, you got to start getting better. I get it. You know, they're not going to go out and spend a fortune for a player when they're not going to be good enough to you know, you're going to waste 2 years of the guy's career. I understand that. But when are they going to get to that part of the program? Don't they have a lot of cap space? I think they got a lot of money that is available to them, and I think it gets crazy in another year. So, I don't like the idea of just buying a team with the remnants of what's available next year as opposed to sort of building a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I there's a part of me that says I really want them to just keep drafting great young players and develop them and bring them up. But if they aren't going to spend money, then maybe this is a way of getting older. But I think you should spend the money. And you don't have to – I just find it a little bit of a dilemma to kind of burn high draft picks. I think that's a mistake.
I heard a sigh there, I think, from David. I'm going to give him my time. But just looking at a mock draft ahead of this question, it was kind of like, best guess might be this guy because he's from Sweden. He's young. They don't need him right now. He could be the future number 2 at the position to Connor Bedard. They need to help Connor Bedard now. That's and I don't think this draft where they're at sets up for that, but I'm going to let David.
No, I think that this makes sense to me because you have so many prospects that are just that, prospects that are going to be good in a couple years. So you're about to draft another guy at number 3 that's going to be good in a couple of years. Well, I don't think you have that long. Because you've got to start showing some progress. You've got to start winning some games. You got to get out of the bottom 5 of the league. You stink. You were the worst team in the league a couple years ago, the second worst team last year. You got to stop the losing. You got to start winning now. And I think this may be this rumor or this information that Frank Ciravelli reported reflects that. I asked him on CHSN last night on the Chicago Lead if this means that Kyle Davidson is feeling a sense of urgency or maybe a little bit more impatient. He pushed back at that a little bit, and that's fine. But I don't know why else you would trade the 3rd overall pick for a veteran unless you were ready to try to win games that you have been losing. Names out there? Well, I don't think the Stars are going to part with Jason Robertson, but there have been rumors about he's entering the final year of a deal and they can't pay everybody. He would be fantastic in Chicago. J.J. Paterka from Buffalo of the Sabres is another guy that could be out there and is rumored to be on the trade market. get it done now, because free agency could take on a different level of speculation, because Mitch Marner and Toronto are having kind of a messy divorce north of the border, and that would be fun to watch. The Hawks have $29 million in cap space. I hope they use it, and I hope they do it. They had a free agent and somebody they trade for.
Here's my question for you.
How would you describe what happened in Florida Tuesday night in the Stanley Cup Final? What was your biggest takeaway?
Hard to watch, hard to like. Congratulations to the Florida Panthers. They are repeat back-to-back champions. Brad Marchand scored 6 goals. Sam Bennett was all over the place, a deserving Conn Smythe Trophy recipient. And their coach can be as smug as he wants now, because they have back-to-back cup titles and they can hoist the silver chalice all summer long. Yeah, they went out, they made a big trade for Marchand. That was huge. But they also have a goaltender that gives them the opportunity to win each and every time out. Bobrovsky is terrific. They shut down Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid is just like the angriest man in hockey right now. And Leon Draisaitl, he had 4 playoff overtime goals in the postseason. A tremendous postseason for him. And really, it's all for naught, because the Oilers fall short again. The Canadian drought continues. And I am definitely sad about the end of hockey season.
I think we briefly touched on it in the opening segment of the show. It's something we talked about together as a group in our little pregame meeting. It felt like a sweep. It didn't feel like a game 6. I wanted a game 7, even though I did pick the Panthers to win, but that was strictly before the USA, USA, USA effect. Couple other little things. You know, if you hear about the Tkachuk injury, oh my gosh, the way he played through some injuries that I think he was still carrying over from the hockey tournament.
Four Nations Faceoff?
Yeah, unbelievable what he played through. And again, with all due respect, I am not Joe Hockey. I don't claim to be. But Connor McDavid, the best player on the planet, he had 1 goal in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
1. My Panthers, the team that plays in the United States of America, USA, USA, USA.
You can go home now, Tyler.
And it's not just because you wore shorts to work.
I think the main takeaway, you know, what happened in Florida Tuesday night is exactly what's been happening. They jumped up by a 2-goal lead, and then they extended it and won the game. I think the reason it feels like a sweep is because basically you got Edmonton chasing every game in the series. They went down by 2 or more in every game in the series. I don't know how you win. I mean, I know different sports are different, but I just don't know how you can do that. And they went back to the goalie. I mean, they had problems stopping early goals in this series. And as a result, it did feel like a sweep, because it felt like they had no chance for, you know, the one game, I think it was the second one when they came back and won in overtime. I thought that game was over when the third goal was scored. I just couldn't believe they ended up coming back in that game. That's not a recipe for any kind of success in any sport. You can't play that way. You can't be in like a track meet and say, hey, why don't you go up 5 paces and then I'll come up. I'll use my big kick to beat you. That's not going to work. You know, you can't say, all right, we'll let him score a good 7 runs, and then we'll come after him and win. You can do it once. You can't do it regularly. They could never overcome that problem. So they were chasing the Stanley Cup the whole bloody series.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of the biggest reasons that the Panthers were so unlikable in this series, in this postseason. Seth Jones, he won a Stanley Cup, talked his way out of Chicago, kind of gave up on the Blackhawks, and talked his way out of town. They made the trade, and the Hawks got their goalie of the future in Spencer Knight, and the Panthers got a veteran defenseman who now is a Stanley Cup champion. So his presence on that roster and seeing him celebrate last night made it only harder to watch.
All righty, we got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw. It is Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Do you believe the Bulls will trade Nikola Vucevic before or on draft night this week, a week from today? That's when the draft is, a week from today. Are they working on a deal? Should they be? Will they trade anyone else? Don't they have to?
I think they have to. Doesn't mean they will. The obvious answer or solution to getting out of this kind of pit of mediocrity that they're stuck in is would seem to be shaking up your roster, but that didn't sound like AK was committed to it the last we heard from him. And did I hear that right? We're not actually hearing from him on draft night. Mark Eversley is going to be the voice of the franchise on that night, regardless of what happens, which will create a situation that's going to be very interesting if they do make a deal. They're trying to trade Vooch by all reports and accounts. There are rumors everywhere. Lakers, Warriors, fill in a team, but those are the two most commonly that come up. Jonathan Kuminga's name keeps coming up in trade conversations, although there is the suggestion if you do a sign and trade for Kuminga, who's young and talented and has a lot of experience with the Warriors, but also would be a $100 million man at least. So then you have another guy who you're paying slash potentially overpaying to be the answer to a problem that persists. I don't know if Vooch will still be here. If he is, I guess I will be mildly surprised. If he's still here by the beginning of free agency, I'll be very surprised. They got to move his contract, an expiring deal. If it means moving Vooch is clearing the way for Derek Queen at number 12, I'm all for that because I do think that's a interesting choice. It would be somebody who could get you a little bit intrigued and maybe even excited about the next Bulls season. Short of that, they're going to have to make a trade to get people excited about the next Bulls season.
Vooch comes off as a very nice guy, carries himself like a professional, but he sounded like a guy when the season did end that is looking to finish his career in a place where they're playing actual playoff basketball. Now, does his skill set fit such a team? We'll have to wait and see. How much would the Bulls have to eat, if that's even a thing with NBA trades and the such? So I don't understand. Why is Eversley going to be the face slash voice on draft night? Are they trying to prop him up, get him an opportunity, make sure everybody's aware of what he does? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Probably doesn't matter to the fans in the big picture, but why would AK not be front and center?
That's a good question. I know that they have talked with Golden State before about Vooch. So if indeed he was a piece that you used to get Jonathan Kuminga, that's the kind of player that would fit with the way the Bulls want to play under Billy Donovan. You know, he's relatively big, power forward type that can run the floor, and he would fit here. That would be a good player to go get. I think that would make them better. I they got to do something. They got to do something. And anything at this point would be welcome. I think if you made a deal like that and you got yourself also, a player, another big in the draft, that might change the way you think about the Bulls.
If you got Kuminga and, say, Derek Queen.
That's what I'm saying.
All of a sudden, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that...
Wouldn't that be great?
I mean, it would be great.
Because, hey, Vooch is, as you say, he's a gentleman. He's a good guy. He's also going to be 35 years old, right? I mean, he's aging out of it. Mm-hmm. And maybe he could go with the geriatric ward in Golden State and, launch some threes and play with those guys and see how if that can work.
Kuminga is a former lottery pick.
Oh, yeah.
He's 22. Fell out of favor with Steve Kerr in Golden State for reasons that might be tied to maturity, immaturity. He's still a young player. I don't know. Second chance might be a good spot for him, good place for him.
I think I'd feel better about the Bulls if you swap those two players.
He averaged 15 points a game in 47 games last year. He's got some skills.
Yeah.
And
he'll do better here because there's more opportunity for him.
It would be different. And along those lines, I don't have... And I'm surprised, I think, at this reaction because it was my first reaction. I don't have a big problem with Mark Eversley being the voice of the Bulls on draft night. And here's two reasons why. Number one is Justin shrugs his shoulders visibly.
Just to be fair, I don't either. I just don't get it.
Oh, but I get it. Let me explain. I think, number one, Mark Eversley, this will help people kind of define what he does and what his role is and how loud his voice might be. And secondly... And our Terrence Carter show was, with due respect to his role, isn't one of his strengths. So if you're, as an executive, are playing to your strength of your organization by not being front and center, because what happens? Say they draft Derek Queen.
Yeah.
They trade for Jonathan Kuminga. And AK gets behind the podium and he's reading off a prepared statement. It's going to be a downer. And that's no disrespect. That's just not something he's that good at. So why don't play to your strengths? Mark Eversley is a pretty good communicator. He might leave you with a positive feeling at the end of the night. So I understand if that's in the intent. It might be nothing as elaborate or that or as involved as that. But if it is, I could get it. I could get behind it. Smart.
Educated in England and Canada, I'd love to hear from him.
Yes.
He'd be a good guy to hear. The other thing is, I'm just being honest, we have kind of heard AK tell you the plan, and it fizzled a little.
It's unsatisfying.
It's not satisfying.
It definitely leaves people scratching their heads.
So it's not
or throwing
idea.
Things.
It's not a bad.
So
idea.
It's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah.
You find somebody who's good at what they do. You ask them to do that, and boom, that's how good organizations function.
He really got ripped for the way he handled the end of the year news conference talking about AK.
Mm-hmm.
But mercifully, KC came on and prepped us for it. And we understood what he was going to say, so it wasn't a surprise. But I think a lot of people were surprised that there was, and what is the idea, Dustin? Extend the timeline?
Shrink the timeline.
That's not a good question.
Tyler's right. He's raising the indication here. He's got all the audio. Tyler just played the audio.
I'll give Dustin some assist on
that,
though.
Well, that's good. But you know what? If
you don't need pants to be good at your job.
You can wear shorts to work. AK didn't have it in that press conference. If Mark Eversley is not good at this part of the job, maybe next time they should just send up Casey Johnson to interpret and explain.
This is not what I'm saying, but they feel.
Yeah.
I'd love it. It's so awesome.
That'd be funny.
All right. 312-644-6767 is the number. Mully and Haw on the score.
That's why we come to the ballpark, to see things like that, to see great players do great things, great players do amazing things. Pretty cool.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's about as much enthusiasm as you ever hear from Craig Counsell. I mean, that's him fired up.
That's Craig Counsell excited.
Very excited.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
That's why you come to the ballpark.
That's why you come to the ballpark. It's PCA worth the price of admission. And he is that and more lately, especially on a night where he hits the scoreboard, Kyle Schwarber style. That was like a Schwarbomb. And it was 452 feet. How does a guy PCA size hit the ball 452 feet?
Leverage.
I thought it was funny, and we'll talk to Bruce at 725, but before the game when PCA was talking about his all-star voting, he's talking to the reporters about how the popularity and all those things, he was asked about whether or not he's going to participate in the Home Run Derby. And he essentially said, no, that's not for him. He doesn't have that kind of power. And it made you realize, though, what he's saying is he just has a great swing, great timing, and he, on any given pitch, can hit at 452 feet. But if he's asked to do the Home Run Derby thing, he's not that kind of hitter.
I am not surprised by that answer, and I believe that is absolutely accurate. He's not like a strongman home run hitter. And those are the guys that do well, that don't wear down, that can just keep repeat like the big swing. He's more of a guy, when he gets up, he can hit a home run. We've seen him hit home runs at a great pace, 19 of them already, and it's June 18th. But he's not the sort of guy that's going to hit three home runs in a game. He's going to drive one. He's going to turn a double into a triple, turn a single into a double. He can walk. He can get on base and wreak havoc. He's not the guy with the repeat swing to just keep clubbing the ball. And I know that sounds weird because he's hit so many homers, but it's entirely accurate in terms of a self-description.
You think Pat Murphy knows his name now?
Oh, I think he knew his name all along. I wonder.
You think so?
Did Murph say anything about the blue-haired guy?
The blue-haired guy's making him feeling quite blue.
Or the guy with the big feet who had three hits, right?
Yeah.
How about that? The well-rested guy with the three, with the big feet.
Blue-haired kid.
Yeah. Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong are having elite seasons. Maybe PCA is. Tucker may be on his way to one, but he's maybe having a typical season. I shouldn't say that.
Yes.
He's having a typical Kyle Tucker-like season.
Yeah, that's the kind.
Which is elite, though.
That's the player he is, and that's how he plays the game. PCA, we don't know what he is yet. We are just learning what he can do. The fact that guy has his strike zone is he can hit anything in the strike zone, but he can go up for a ball, he can go down for a ball, he can hit bad pitches too, and I mean hit the hell out of them.
No doubt about it. He can do whatever he wants right now, and the offense is
how good is he?
Breathtaking.
Do we even know how good
he is? The defense is even more impressive because, you know, the defensively, he's come a long way as well because he getting along with others in the outfield. You don't worry about him colliding with his left fielder or right fielder anymore, right?
Right.
And I think maybe, and I don't know this for sure, but it's almost like they understand if he can get to it, he will. And he has they're going to let him do that. You don't worry about guys colliding and then exchanging kind of dirty looks.
He was almost more of a show off. Kind of a year ago, let's say. But now you know how his range is kind of unlimited. And I think that the people around him no longer are kind of, you know, look at the kid doing that now. They're more appreciative of what he can do, right?
Yes.
I think they've learned his game as much as he's learned his game.
I think it's respect. It's all about respect.
Oh, he earns
and
all the respect.
Not only has he become more popular with the fan base and baseball fans across the country, not just Cub fans, but I think the respect he's gained by the way that he's played consistently this year is evident with opponents, with fans, but also maybe his teammates.
But I mean, the fact that the guy can hit a home run like that has the power, which is, again, it kind of defies his body to hit a home run that far and then can make a defensive play like he made. It's pretty extraordinary. It is just a pretty extraordinary combination of abilities.
In the box is being used, and it's looking like one of the better trades that Jed Hoyer ever made, really.
I mean, it's looking on a daily basis more and more like a like that the trade that San Diego made for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Wow.
I mean, he's emerging as a bona fide MVP candidate. He is.
And all the bets got out of it was a few months of
Javi Baez.
Yeah. It's in terms of bad trades. I think that's
a really bad trade.
It's a really bad trade for the Mets, a really good one for the Cubs. And that's why when Jed Hoyer was on the afternoon show talking about the Rafael Devers reaction and his opinion about what happened, you know, he talked about how hard it was for him. He can relate to Craig Breslow feeling just conflicted after making a trade like that because of the way he felt in 2021 when he unloaded Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo. Now, those two other trades didn't go so well because they had to be done. But the Baez trade, as you point out, historic because of what Pete Crow Armstrong is capable of doing, not only this year, but throughout his Cub career.
You know, Javi had a couple, like I think three or four, like excellent seasons where he was like a over four WAR player. Pete Crow Armstrong is that right now. He's like, I mean, he's going to be more than a four WAR player this year. And
He's at 3.9 according to FanGraphs.
Do we know how consistently he'll be able to put that together? He's very young.
It's hard to project because this is his first season of realizing that potential to this degree. But it is fun to consider because of all that's possible. And get Dustin going back to it, when you talk about, you look at the landscape of Chicago sports, who'd have thought on June 18th that we'd be talking about the biggest sports star in Chicago being Pete Crow Armstrong?
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.